We're going to start the year off talking about a message about fresh start, fresh wind, fresh fire. I'm believing that God is going to do some good things. One thing I really love this time of year, yesterday we went on a cleaning spree in Denise's office and filled up a whole trash can full of stuff that we didn't really need anymore. Does anybody ever have stuff around the house that you don't really need anymore, but you just keep it? I mean, we have so many things that, you know, different stuff that we've had over the years, and you know, and somehow, just to me, that just, I just love new beginnings. You know, just getting a fresh start, and a fresh start just kind of energizes me on the inside. And, you know, we can take all the things that we learned last year and start again, you know, with a clean slate. And one thing I found is that, you know, don't let last year's failures affect this year's possibilities. You know, because sometimes things don't go the way they want. You know, I don't know about you, I didn't go to college, but I do have a master's degree in what not to do. Does anybody have that? You know, I've tried a lot of things in life, and sometimes it didn't work. And that's okay. Just don't do it again, right? Just don't do it again. And failure can be a good thing if we use it as a learning experience on what to do next time. So don't let failure, if you fall short, you know, be something that paralyzes you and holds you in bondage. You know, let that just be a stepping stone for the next step, you know. And, you know, and we're going to talk about drifting starting out, but, you know, don't just drift into this new year, but charge into the new year with purpose and courage and intensity. You know, we need all three of those things to really kind of function. First scripture we're going to look at is Hebrews 2:1. And it's a passage that challenges us. It says, "For this reason, we must pay a closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word and for your anointing. Just to be here today, Lord, to stir and stimulate us, to be able to challenge us and not condemn us, convict us, but yet also encourage us. Lord, we thank you so much for the moving of your spirit today and the power of possibility, Lord. With you, all things are possible. Lord, I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gift of the Spirit to be in operation here today. First point I want to look at here is the idea of drifting. You know, a lot of kids like drifting. You know, in the church van, they always tell me to drift around the corners. You know, and it's a little bit older van. I'm afraid what would happen. You know, plus I don't do dangerous things with the kids, right? That's my story and we're sticking to it. Anyway, but, you know, we don't do that. But have you ever felt sometimes like you're drifting through life? It seems like it's motionless, but yet you're moving. It just seems like, you know, things aren't really going the direction that you want. It just seems like you're being pulled from some outward force that is just pulling you away. You know, several years ago on vacation, we were warned about a couple things, but one thing we was warned about, we were in kayaks, and they said, be careful, because the current will pull you, or cause you to drift over into the rocks. And you look over into the rocks, and they did look a little dicey, I ain't gonna lie to you. And so they told us, you have to keep paddling. You just have to keep paddling. You know, sometimes you get tired, but you got to keep paddling, because if not, there's the world force is going to pull us into something. And I do know that that was a spiritual lesson also to learn, because the word drift means a gradual and almost unnoticed movement past a certain point, causing us to slip away. You know, you can be drifting, and as long as you can still see where you want to be, you still think it's attainable. But it's not. Because we're not going against the current. We're just allowing the current to take us slowly, slowly away. And one thing about drifting, it makes your destination a lot farther than it needs to be. Right? So that's what happens to us, you know, in the natural, but also that's what happens to us spiritually. You know, like I always said, any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live one to go upstream. And so we have to go against the grain, I guess, go against the things of this world to be able to get to where we need to be. Now, this book, this chapter, this verse I picked was in Hebrews. And as many of you know, it was written to Jews who had become Christians, yet over a little process of time, they felt the pull, maybe through family, maybe through culture, pulling them back into the law, pulling them away from Jesus and going back into the things that they used to do. And see, that's what you and I struggle with, is that we have the pull of the world and sometimes the pull of family or friends that want to pull us back into the old systems that we used to live by. And, you know, sometimes we have a default setting, don't we? A default setting is a setting that for whatever reason, we just fall back to that. And we need to be careful that the old ways will become our default setting if we're not careful. And so we need to exert influence to be able to come against that and to be able to pull ourselves out of that old system and start doing things differently. You know, my year, I named this year and some things that I want to do, and I need to break some molds in my life. You know what I mean by that? You know what a mold is, right? A mold is when you pour something into it, it just makes that form. And see, if we don't break the mold, it doesn't matter what we put into the mold, it's going to always come out the same, right? So we need to break those molds, that old default setting. And I go into this from, I'm not a neuroscientist, but it does fascinate me, the human brain, how it works and how we get to thinking along a certain line and we train our mind to think that way. And then it becomes our default setting. It doesn't matter what we're stimulated by on the outside, but we always go to that thought. And a lot of times, we misinterpret the information around us because we've allowed ourselves to be molded into that mentality. And we need to break that. It's possible. The good news is, from what I've read, you can rewire your brain. That sounds pretty intense, doesn't it? All you have to do is rewire your thoughts. Instead of going dark, go light. Instead of thinking failure, thinking victory. You see what I'm saying? Instead of thinking overcome, think overcomer. And in time, that will become our default setting. Where we can actually say, I'm not moved by what I feel or see, I'm just moved by the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that is absolute truth. And when we get to that place, then, in many ways, we become invincible. We become a serious threat to the devil because he cannot hold us in that bondage anymore. All those tricks that he used to use against us, they no longer work anymore, and we can overcome that. So if, you know, it's just kind of like a boat, you know, if you picture yourself like a boat and you're floating, you know, just think about those unseen currents that are actually moving you and motivating you right now. Because that life has a way of lulling us to sleep and causing us to drift off course. And that's why we need to stay in the Word. We need to stay connected. We need to stay challenged by other believers to help us to overcome. And, you know, I just want to say that we don't want to, you know, drift into the new year, but charge into the new year. I know we're several days into it now, but you don't, you know, don't get hung up on dates, you know, but just start today. Today's a new day. Today's a day of opportunity. Today's the day that I can make incremental change in my life. See, incremental change is just, it's little by little, boom, 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 boom. Before you know it, we'll get there. Amen? We just got to decide to do that. So, stop the drift. Next point I want to see, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Very familiar scripture for some. I go to this scripture periodically. And it's a good thing for us to do. It's a challenge here by the Apostle Paul. He's talking to the Corinthian church. They were a church of excess, had some things going on in their life. They were zealous, but sometimes they get off track. And he says here, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Okay, hey, refocus. Christ is in you. Matter of fact, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But what we need to do, what I see from this passage, is every now and then, we need self-examination. We need to examine ourselves. That means you purposely have to maybe, I say, set yourself apart for a little while, for a little bit. Don't have to be long. But just kind of do evaluation of your life. Maybe get a pencil and paper out. Kind of look things over, how things are going. See, the problem is that you and I, see, we can get dirty living in a world polluted by sin. And it's so subtle. I don't know about you, but, you know, I catch myself, you know, maybe being a little more less intense about certain issues than I used to be. And I've maybe allowed some of the world to creep into some of my values. That is maybe, you know, to me it's not backsliding, but yet it's not as good as where I could be. I've allowed some things to happen. And, you know, that's on me. Now, I don't know about you, but we didn't do it all this year, but usually every year we clean out our garage so we can park inside. We park inside, but, you know, in the winter, you're out there driving and all that stuff, right? And that mud and snow, and you pull into the garage, and then it just warms up in there, and then it drops on the floor. And so in time, the garage just becomes filthy, just dirty. And that mud gets caked down, and so you have to me, I wet it down, and then I get a scraper. But before I start that, I sweep. I sweep it. And have you ever sweeped dust before? Just like a cloud. Gets all over you. And usually I do it when it's hot. So you're kind of sweating anyway, and that dust just sticks to your skin. And to be honest, after I'm done, I just feel filthy. Just filthy. Just dust everywhere on me. And that's kind of what it's like, you know, when we live in this world. So we can get all dirty and smelly when we clean. And what we can do now, usually I take a shower. But what would happen if I had to go somewhere and I go in there all sweaty and smelly and everything, and I just take those clothes off and I just put new clothes on? Then, you know, you got some of that body spray. You ever heard of that stuff? You spray yourself, man. Just hose yourself down with that stuff. They can smell you 10 foot away. And by all apparent looks from everybody, you look clean. But you're not. We're really dirty. And we really stink. And see, that's what it's like when we try to cover up our sin. We doll it up, right? We try to cover those things. And sometimes if we're not willing to allow ourselves to be cleansed, you know, we try to cover all these things up. We put on a good face. We, you know, maybe say the right thing or maybe do the right thing. But, you know, there's nothing that can be compared to just going and giving it over to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And so we need to test ourselves and see, is there anything in my life that I need to get rid of, that I need to clean up? Because, you know, we don't need to try to cover all these things up spiritually. God knows about them. And we need a spiritual shower. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, I go to it, we're going to go into it later on in the series, is Acts 3:19. It says, repent and return, that the times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. You know, we need that time of refreshing. We need that just that boost of being cleansed and being free and letting things go and getting rid of them out of our life, because, you know, God wants us to be able to walk in that freedom. And so what, instead of examining ourselves, one of the problems that we do is that we go around examining others. Have you ever done that? Don't raise your hand right now. But instead of dealing with our own stuff, we're picking on other people, so it makes us look a little better, right? And what I found out, you know, it's easy to point out other people's faults, because we all have them. But sometimes the faults that we're pointing out in others are issues that we're having in our life. And that's how it works. It's a spiritual law. We see, how many, when you see your kids do something that irritates you, well, guess where they learned it? Don't say your spouse. A lot of those things that irritate us, they learn from us. And they're a little mirror we're looking at. And then we see that, and that irritates us. But yet, you know, it's so easy to point it out in them that we don't really want to deal with it ourselves. And that's why we need to take this time to examine, and what I call, you know, we like to have some personal reflection, a time for personal reflection. So everybody here, probably, I would imagine everybody here today, how many looked in the mirror at least once before you left the house today? Anybody not? I was going to talk to you about that. You got something right here. No. Now, one thing that's funny, it's kind of, I drink a smoothie every morning. Really, it's a thickie. I put stuff in, I make it thick. And when I drink it, I get it on my nose. And Denise, if she comes out, and I have a system. After I'm done with my smoothie, then I'll go rinse out my blender and drink the leftover in the blender, and then I'll wipe my face off. Well, she always catches me before I get to that phase. She always comes, you got something on your nose. I said, I know. I have not done yet, you know. I haven't dealt with it. I mean, I have a system. Don't bother me. You know, this is how I roll, you know. How many have systems in their life you like? You know, but that's just one of mine. You know, but I, you know, you look in a mirror because you want to make sure there's nothing really out of place before you go out in public. So we look in that mirror, and we just kind of check ourselves out, see if a little something needs fixed or rearranged. There's only so much you can do, right? You know, we can't fix everything. You know, there ain't enough makeup, right? Or whatever. But, you know, to me, the Bible talks about this too, that that God's Word is a mirror. We can look into God's Word, and it's a mirror. And when we look in God's Word, here's some questions that we can ask. This is what we can do in our own spiritual checkup. You know, you should get checked out every now and then. And number one is, you know, am I better off spiritually than I was a year ago? That's a good question, isn't it? Think about it for a minute.
Am I in a better place spiritually today than I was a year ago? Hopefully you can say yes. If not, what went wrong? What did I do that? Because, you know, God talks about, I mean, technically we should be growing and growing and growing, right? It may not be a lot of growth. We should be growing, not just growing older. We should be growing spiritually. And spiritual maturity has nothing to do with age. But it has all to do with, you know, paying attention to the things of God. Another question is, how's my prayer life? Am I praying? I'll be honest. Sometimes we just need to check that out. I mean, sometimes we let our prayer life slip. Usually, you know, it's easier to let your prayer life slip than probably a lot of other things. What I'm calling about a prayer life, I'm not saying praying over your food or just saying a little doodad prayer before you go to sleep. Or is this some, you know, I'm talking about actually sitting down for a little bit and praying. You know, spending time with God, kind of a quiet time. It's easy just to stay in the Word. I mean, that's important too. You know, how much am I reading and studying God's Word? Need to read it? Need to study it? And if you don't know how to study it, you know, talk to me. There's some little techniques you can do to go deeper, right? Also, meditating on the Word. That means you don't bulk read. You just pick a passage, read it over 4 or 5 or 6 times. Think about it. Sometimes a bomb will go off in your mind. God will reveal something to you. So that's a thing you can check out. Am I doing those things? These things don't take that long. Don't take that long. Easily to integrate into your system. And then, this is a tough one here. Am I making myself accountable to other believers? What does that mean? Making yourself accountable. That means you're in community. You know what I mean by community? You're in a church family. It's not just staying at home and watching online, although if that's all you can do, I mean, that's fine, but you're missing out. Because we need to be accountable to each other. We need to grow together. You know, not just go together, we need to grow together. And we need to spend time with each other. And that's why I like our grow groups on Wednesday nights, the only time they're meeting now. But hey, I have no problem with them meeting during the week in other places. I'd love that. But you get in that room and you go together and you start to grow together and you start to talk with each other and we start helping each other. And that's how we become accountable. Because when you're accountable, it brings the level of transparency that we can't hide anymore. Right? Because we hide sometimes. That's why some people pick different churches. They might go to a big church so they can slip in and slip out. Do their hallelujah thing, glory, glory, glory. And then slip out and never even have to get involved with anybody. But, you know, Jesus, he got involved with his followers. They got involved with each other. And so it's a picture of what we need to do. We need to get involved with each other. It can be scary. I ain't going to lie to you. But it's rewarding. It's all worth it. See, we can count on accountability to keep us on track. You know, my wife and I keep each other accountable. You know? It's a bummer when your wife knows the Word of God sometimes. Because she can point some things out to you every now and then. I like the old days when you just, no, I don't want to say that anyway. Anyway, it's good to have accountability in the home. See, the good news about God's Word, it's two things really, is that it's a mirror. It does reveal our imperfections in our life, but it also reveals our potential of what we could be. See, I like the correction that God brings to my life because I know that, you know, wrong thinking, wrong actions, it holds me back from my destiny. I have a destiny. You have a destiny. Right? And these little imperfections are like, you know, you're trying to go somewhere, but you're dragging all this extra weight. So I love the correction in God's Word because it helps me to get rid of that stuff. But then I also love the fact that God shows me what I can be. This is what I say you are, my son. This is what I say you are, my daughter. This is how I see you. And this is what I see you becoming, because you already are. We just can't see it yet. But see, the Word of God is a mirror, and we can see our potential. We can see what God has called us to do. That's exciting. So then after you check yourself out, it's always good to get a second opinion, especially the opinion of the greatest opinion in the universe, in my opinion. That's a lot of opinions right there, ain't it? Let's look at Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24. I think this is a passage we went over lately. I know we did in the anxiety class, but it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." See, after I check myself out and go through my little protocols, well, then it's good to get the opinion that really matters, and that's God's opinion. And what he says about us. You know, I found out as I get older in life, you know, it's good to get yourself checked out every now and then. You know, I was never big on going to the doctor, but as I look back, I probably should have went and had a checkup or two along the way. It might have made some differences in what's going on later in life. By getting the opinion. You know, I've went a couple times lately for some different things, and I'll be honest, some of my opinions were flawed. Can you believe that? Some of my opinions about the human body were not founded in science. I misunderstood a couple things. And when they explained it to me, I said, oh yeah. Google can't teach you everything, friends, right? But the idea of the point is letting God examine us. He made us. He's the creator. He made you. So what we need to do is we need to first give God permission to look under the hood. Right? To check under the hood. Now, I just don't let anybody check under the hood of my car. And I just don't let anybody check under the hood of my spiritual life. When it comes to certain things, I go to the experts. Have you ever had, you know, one thing that you can really good, you need some good people in your life, but how many know you need a good mechanic? Right? Unless your car never breaks down. God bless you, and that's good for you. But some of my cars have a tendency to have a problem every now and then. And you need a good mechanic. I've had a bad mechanic. Matter of fact, long time ago, I had a mechanic that the car, when you was driving the speed limit, you'd be going along, all of a sudden it'd lunge. And then it'd just keep on going and have a hiccup in it, you know. So we took it in, tried to have it looked at, and he looked at it. I fixed it. Paid him, went on my way, did it again. Went back, looked at it again, said I fixed it. Okay, went out, did it again. Went, because it showed a warning lights what it did. Now, I usually don't pay attention to warning lights. Those don't mean anything. Check engine lights, that's just that's a racket. But anyway, no, that's not truth. I'm just kidding. But I went back again. He said he fixed it, and the warning light was off. But it did it again. So then I took it to a better mechanic. And that mechanic knew what they were doing. And they found the problem. Well, they found two problems. First problem they found was that the first mechanic had unplugged the engine light. No light, no problem, man. Right? Well, they plugged that back in. But then they found there was one wire that was going through the engine in a harness, and somehow that wire had become damaged And just every now and then it would short out and it would cause that problem. Because it had to go to the right mechanic to find that problem. And the car was perfect after that. And I never went back to the first mechanic again. Because we all need somebody, and we, you know, God owns us anyway, right? If we're a true Christian, the Bible says we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And so all God is asking is that he wants us to be a willing sacrifice. He wants us to be a part and to be able to surrender and to be able to submit our life to him. See, what I like about God is the fact that he can bring both comfort and correction at the same time. He's a loving father, and he cares so much about us. And to me, it's easier to take correction if we know the other person has our best interest at heart. You know, somebody just comes up and I don't know them, and they just tell me, hey, this is what you're doing wrong, blah, blah, blah. You know, I just don't receive it sometimes. But if I know the person really cares about me, I'm going to receive that correction. And one thing we can settle in our heart is God really cares. God cares about us. And we can receive that correction. Never be afraid of correction in our life. Correction's good. Correction helps us to be free. Because none of us are perfect. We all have blind spots. You know, and what I've found is sometimes, you know, in a car, sometimes you get a little, you have to check your oil every now and then, right? You check that dipstick. And if the dipstick says you're a little low, guess what? You need to add some oil. You know, we need to check our spiritual dipstick. I'm not calling nobody a dipstick. That's what I'm doing. But I'm just saying we need to check it to see if we're a little low on the oil of the Holy Spirit in our life. There's parables that talk about that when you don't have oil. And see, that's what happens when we examine ourselves, and we need to do that. And what I found is that it's a whole lot easier to deal with the problem if you catch it early. If you wait till that problem's grown and is so big, it's hard to deal with that. But if you catch that problem at an early stage in our life, well, then we can just make a little course correction, be able to deal with that, and just move on. That's why we need to do this periodically, especially first of the year. Great time. Do a spiritual checkup. You know, maybe do another, especially when school starts. It's kind of a fresh start getting rid of the kids. I mean, getting the kids out there, right? Maybe you can do them on your birthday, do a spiritual checklist. I mean, just whatever works for you. But kind of check these things out and just kind of see. And so here's some ways that you and I can get to where we need to be. Okay? First one is renew our commitment. Very subtle. Resettle our loyalty and dedication to the Lord. Reconsecrate ourselves. You know, Daniel, the Bible says, purposed in his heart. He chose not to eat the food, the king's food, or his wine. So he purposed in his heart just to eat vegetables and stay pure and holy to God. Paul, very wise man, Apostle Paul, he determined to not know anything but Christ crucified. That was his main thing in his life. He just focused on the power that's in the cross. And Jesus, he set his face towards Calvary, would not be turned. He knew what was coming. Crucifixion. But he didn't turn back. So we sometimes just have to renew our commitment. You know, how committed are we to God? After that, we restore our consecration. You know, after you're committed, then you get consecrated. You know, we need to see ourselves as sanctified. The word sanctified is a holy word, which is talking about being set apart for holy use. And that's what you and I are. Once we come out of the kingdom of darkness and are into the kingdom of light, we've been sanctified or set apart and put into a place where God can start to really move and still use us. So choose to be a vessel that God can work through. Here I am, God, send me. Both hands. Here I am, God, send me. I'll do it. I'll do it. And when we restore our consecration, that means we also need to stop putting ourselves in situations that will grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. But it's about the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. And there are certain things that grieve the Holy Spirit, which causes him to pull back. And then those things, you know, can get us in trouble. Okay, next. Refresh our countenance. Countenance. Meaning, put on your game face and stop looking defeated. I mean, this is part of our, how we got to walk it out. Okay. A lot of Christians walking around, oh yeah, Jesus is great. Oh yeah, I just love God blessing me. Well, who's going to believe that? Put a smile on your face. Be happy about it. I mean, just a few hours earlier, you're yelling at your football team or something for winning or whatever, all excited, whatever the case may be. Come on, show it. Show it. See, image is everything, and we were created in the image of God, so act like it. Stop looking down, look up, put your head high. Not in pride, but in confidence. Confidence in your King. Confidence in your Savior. Confidence in the God that lives inside of you. That He's called us for something greater. And this is kind of weird, but anyway, big dog attitude starts with that we serve a big God gratitude, that we have big God gratitude. I am so thankful for God that nothing can stop me. It doesn't matter. Devil's tried for years, people. Just get up, keep coming. I'm so thankful for God. He didn't give up on me. And since He didn't give up on me, I will never give up on Him. I'm just going to keep pushing through. And lastly, revive our courage. Revive our courage. You know, the old quote is, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than fear. We're all afraid, people, from time to time. Life can be challenging. Things can go on that's beyond our control. Maybe life hasn't turned out the way that you thought it would when it started. Sometimes we have these big dreams and these things that we think is just how it's going to work. We may have it all orchestrated in our mind. But sometimes it just doesn't maybe go that way. Well, we just keep on going. You got to have courage. Turn that around. Put ourselves in a position to walk in God's blessing. So, in closing, we need to stop drifting through life and set our sails open wide to the wind of the Spirit. Okay? Picture a sailboat. They open their sails and the wind just carries them, right? Effortless. But that's what we have to do to the things of the Spirit. Saying, Holy Spirit, come. Have your way in me. Pray for greater revelation, a greater habitation, and a greater manifestation of God's Spirit in our life. A revelation starts with how we see things. Habitation is knowing that God lives inside of us. And a manifestation is that God shows through us. Amen? And God wants to move. And that's my challenge to start out 2025. Fresh start, fresh wind, fresh fire.